you know, I was thinking about and watching, we're going another step further in a life without limits. And I've heard people say before there was a robbery. And they said the only way this robbery could have occurred, the way that it occurred, the way that it was pulled off, it had to be an inside job. You've heard that? Had to be an inside job. I've heard that most of my life about it being an inside job, and that's what I'm approaching today in this message, the inside job. Last week I brought this statement out, God's plans for you are bigger. Matter of fact, it was put on the internet this week. God's plan for you are bigger than your doubts, greater than your fears, and more beautiful than your imagination. But mark it down, it's an inside job. It's an inside job. In this life, it's more than just looking for that perfect moment. Everybody, I'm looking for that perfect person, that perfect moment. But life is more than just that looking for that perfect moment where all your desires are fulfilled. Has anybody ever been there before? That perfect moment? And then you woke up and found out it wasn't so perfect. Well, I got news for you. Don't wait for the perfect moment. You're wasting time. Don't wait for the perfect moment. Take the moment and make it perfect. You take the moment. It's an inside job. You want that kind of life? You take that moment and change it, rearrange it, transform it. The perfect moment, as a matter of fact, the perfect moment starts within you. Say that back to me. The perfect moment starts with me. It doesn't start with me. You think I can give you that perfect moment? I can't. Your husband or wife cannot do that. Your children cannot do it. You can buy all the cars you want. It will not give you the perfect moment. And that's why some people are overspending. It's because they're trying to spend themselves into happiness. And all you're doing is spending yourself into sorrow, into pain, into grief. You can't buy yourself into happiness. It's an inside job. You've got to think yourself happy. Like David did. You've got to... The Bible gazock it to you. He said, I've got to make myself happy. I got to think myself happy. It's an inside job. So that perfect moment starts with you. A life without limits and an abundant life is an inside job. Inside. God's plan, hear this about His plan. His plan is steadfast and it's far-reaching. And it encompasses all of creation. But the choice, now hear this. Did y'all understand what I just said? Let me read it again because I want you to catch it. God's plan is steadfast. It's sure, right? And far-reaching. It's encompassing all of creation. Everything we see and know. But the choice, everybody say choice. But the choice of how you align yourself with that plan is yours to make. I wrote something to someone this week, I'll leave unnamed. And I said, they asked me how I was doing. And I said, well, I'm just seeking to fulfill the will and plan of God. They wrote me back a long discourse of how God's plan is always going to be His plan. And only He can bring the plan into fruition. And I'm like, what? And the minute that God spoke to me, the minute He said that, God spoke to me, and the Lord said, my plan is immutable. It's unshakable. But the choice you make you will chart the course to how you will navigate within that plan. God's plan is God's plan, and no matter what you do, it's God's plan. No. It's a partial truth. The other truth is, how are you going to navigate through it? How are you going to choose the choices you make? That's important. So how am I going to align myself? The plan is ours to make. While its purpose remains unchanging, your willingness to embrace it determines your role in its unfolding. Your willingness. What will you do? How will you do it? Because God is watching you. He wants you to. Well, let's go on with this. You see, there's plans. There's plans in the spirit realm. There's the thief's plan. Then there's God's plan. The thief's plan is in John 10:10. The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and destroy. That's the thief's plan. Now, you can choose to navigate through that, or you can choose to shut that off. Now, here's the part I like. The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. What is he saying? My plan is you have life and it more abundantly. My plan is provision. My plan is security. My plan is life overflowing. Yes. What do you want? The choice. The choice. I can lay out life for you today, but the choice is yours. Amen. I can lay out a T-bone steak for you. You say, man, that T-bone steak smells good. But the truth of the matter is, you will never enjoy it until you open your mouth, cut the steak, and eat it. The choice is yours whether you eat it or not. Am I right or wrong? So there's a plan, the thief's plan or God's plan. I want God's plan for my life. And it all happens in an inside job because all those choices are there with us. I'm looking for the overflowing life, the abundant life. I'm looking for joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm looking to be able to wake up in the morning and say hallelujah. Not wake up like I did this morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. I actually woke up. I could not go back to sleep. So I finally realized that our heater in our house was not working. It was 29 degrees on my watch. I don't know what it was. And I said to myself, self, you got to go down to the basement and you got to figure all this out. And I said, where's Christian when I need him? I won't get into it. But finally I said, God, you ain't going to hear what I prayed. I don't know what's going to happen when I get home. But I said, God, let me ask you something. I know you don't get involved in the natural that much. And he really doesn't. He lets us deal with it. I said, I know you don't get involved in the natural very much, but I know that you have. So I'm asking you, Lord, to touch my furnace so that when my wife gets up, she can take a shower. Because she ain't going to be happy. And I said, I know you heard me, God, and that's it. So I made the choice to go downstairs and take a look at it. And after looking and observing, cutting it off and on and all this stuff, it came on enough to heat the house up so we could get ready and not be freezing. Now here's the deal. Did God intervene? I believe he did. Because there's no way it would have worked any other way. I know enough about it to tell you it wouldn't have worked. So the choice was, I had a choice. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to believe God? Because here's the truth, I was going to be cold no matter what, unless I trust God. The choice is ours. Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Jesus has a divine plan for each of our lives. Mark it down. Jesus has a divine plan for each of our lives, and the outcome we experience are not determined by external circumstances. Did you catch it? The outcome is not by external circumstances, but by the transformation that happens within us. It's called the inside job. There has to be a transformation inside of you. Why our churches, some churches are not making it? It's because there needs to be an inside job. There needs some people that are transformed, that are changed. There needs to be some joy. The problem we have in America is we've gotten fat and sassy. We've had so much so long we've forgotten God. And that's the truth. Romans 12:2 says, which states, this is what it states, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You need this transformation in order to prove that which is good. Look at it for yourself in the scripture. If we don't go through the process, that which is good and acceptable and perfect will never do it unless there's a transformation. You have to change. The Holy Spirit, how does that happen? How do we get this? How do we walk in this? The Holy Spirit is actively at work. Whether you believe it or not, the Holy Spirit is actively at work, shaping your heart, shaping your mind, refining your character, and aligning your steps with God's purpose. He's aligning your steps with God's purpose. This inner work that I'm talking about, this inner work will propel you toward the trajectory God has designed, ensuring that His best for you, watch this, His best for you is realized in His perfect timing. His best for you is realized in His perfect timing. So, the change begins within, allowing His Spirit, when we allow His Spirit to lead us into the fullness of His plan. We need to allow it. We need to make that choice. I want to walk in the fullness of His plan. Don't you? See, Jesus, whether you believe it or not, promises not just life, but life in the fullness. A rich, meaningful, and overflowing experience. That's what He's promised. Why don't I have it? You've made a choice. You see, I've made a choice. Yeah, you made a choice. Because your mind is consumed with everything negative you can put in it. Every thought, every word, your mind is consumed with negativity. Heard someone talking about that this week. If you're sick, don't hang around somebody that's sicker than you. Because they're going to tell you how bad off they are, and they're going to make you feel bad off. I want to hang around somebody that's been healed. So they can tell me how good God is. Right, Courtney? How good is God? How He healed me when everybody said I was finished, I was through. Our God is good. But I want to walk in that meaningful existence, that overflowing existence. Here's the thing that you have to come to realize. A lot of you are thinking things and saying things about yourself that has become very detrimental in this inside job. See, what I'm going to ask this question. What are you declaring over your life? What are you declaring over your life? How are your words shaping the way you perceive and define your journey? How are your words shaping and defining? The words you speak flow from the depths. Hear this. The words you speak flow from the depths of your heart and have the power. Everybody say the power. They have the power to establish the blueprint for your action and decisions. It establishes it. So battles, wars are often won or lost long before they begin. And the same is true for the battles of life. Your words can either empower or weaken you. It's your words, the inside job. It's not what somebody else speaks over me. Hear me. Somebody said, you going to let that prophet speak that over you? It doesn't matter to me as long as I don't take it internally. What I say over myself is more important than what anybody says over me. I've heard people say, you going to listen to that false prophet? Well, it doesn't matter to me. What they say doesn't mean anything to me. But what I say about myself, Gerald, that means something. That means something. As I said, battles are often won or lost right before anything else happens. Because your words, either empower or weaken you. Can you imagine going out to play in the game and you being a coach of a team and you walking into the game before you get started and say, now men or women, whatever your case is, men, now we're going to go out there and we're going to get our butts handed to us. We're going to get stomped. But I want y'all to be happy. And I want you to play your best, but you're going to get stomped. Who would want a coach like that? Matter of fact, there's preachers like that. Do you know that? They tell you from the pulpit how you're going to get stomped. How bad off you're going to be. How you're not going to make it. I can't read that in the Word. I can't find that in the Word. They may want to go back to some old covenant teaching, but I'm telling you, the new covenant is here through Jesus Christ. And He says, I've come to give you abundant life. Life overflowing. How in the world they go back and want to drag this all up again, and Jesus came to eradicate it. He came to fulfill the law. In other words, it's done. It's an inside job. Life without limits. Your words carry the weight of life and death, especially to yourself. They can build up or tear down, inspire victory or ensure defeat. Choose wisely. I'll say this to you. Choose wisely what you speak, for it shapes the reality you will live in. Proverbs 18:21 in the King James Version says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In the Message Bible, it says it this way. Words kill. Words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm going to choose good fruit. I'm not going to choose poison. Remember what I read to you last week about Jeremiah? Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, before I formed you, I knew you. Remember that? There's something very important to remember as we go before I formed you. All that he said, I'm bringing up another point. Notice Jeremiah, what he said and how it worked. Jeremiah heard the word, not just a word. Some people, when they talk to you or they teach or they preach, are giving you a word. But I don't need, Butch, a word. I need the word. I don't need a direction to Cartersville. I need the direction to Cartersville. Are you seeing the difference? I don't need to go around Macon to get to Cartersville. I need the direction, not a direction. Are you catching this now? See, there are people who give you a word. I don't need a word just because they want to get up and talk. I need the word. Because the thing that will heal you is the word. The thing that will save you is the word. I can't beat that into my head or your head enough. It's the word, the word, the word. Everybody say the word. And because he listened to the word, Jeremiah's life was postured for greatness. His mission was set in the spirit. Life without limits, the abundant life starts with words you allow in your life. Thoughts you allow in your life. Choices you make in your life. If you start to agree with others around you, the critics, how many of you have some critics? How many of you have some editors in your life, some editorials? Okay. If you start agreeing with those people, and you start to follow their plan and not God's plan for your life, you're in trouble. Because you're listening to them following their plan. Remember, it's their plan. It's not the word, it's a word. You have to be aware of this truth as we posture ourselves for prayer today. You have to be aware of this truth. God did not create with you, say me, God did not create a mistake or an impossible project. Maybe you think you are. But God did not create a mistake or an impossible project when He created you. You were His plan for giving life to this world. He wanted you to give life to the world you inhabit. Life to people you meet. Joy. How about faith? How about strength? How about giving words of uplifting words? You cannot allow the fear of things to unhinge your part in God's plan for your life. Don't let it unhinge you from what God has planned for your life. This is important. I'm almost through. Don't have to say a lot in this because I know this is important. Some people preach for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and they say nothing. I gave you enough right here. If you'll start listening to it, God will start working in your spirit. He'll start changing your life. He'll start changing your mind. There was a man, I'll start with this. There was a man who limited himself. He limited himself because of doubt and fear. In Judges 6:7, the Bible says, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites." They're crying out because Midianites are stealing everything they can from them, taking everything they've got. And the Lord reminded them of how he had taken them out of the land of Egypt, how He had secured them and helped them, but people didn't listen. But He says in verse 11 of that chapter, "And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites." What was Gideon doing? He was hiding. He was afraid. He made a choice. He made a choice that he wasn't enough. He made a choice that he couldn't stand against the Midianites. God didn't tell him that. He didn't. Now watch this. In Judges 6:12, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him." How many of y'all would like an angel to appear unto you? I know my wife prays for it all the time. Not. Because when you see the angel of the Lord, man, it's going to shock you. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." And I can see Gideon now. I heard him singing it, this song. "Do you see what I see?" I mean, you're calling me a mighty man of valor and I'm in here hiding. "And Gideon said unto him, Oh my Lord." Now I'm looking at an angel. "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?" Well, you've been rebellious. I won't get into that right now. You've been lack of faith. Why is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. The Lord didn't forsake him. You forsake God. And you've delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Sometimes, are y'all ready for a teaching? Sometimes God will deliver you into the hands of your enemy to wake you up. I just told y'all a great truth. And it's not over until it's over. You need to stand up and say, "I know I'm learning a lesson, and I'm going to deal with this lesson." I'm going to preach this right now. But that's a profound truth. God sometimes, I've proven in the Word, He'll deliver you into the hand of your enemy so that you can wake up. Watch. "Delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." Watch this next phrase. "Have not I sent you?" He's making it clear. This is not a word. This is the word. This is not just a statement. It is the statement. This is not just a plan. It's the plan. Are you catching this? So the angel says, wait a minute. Are you not listening to me? I've talked to you. And he said unto him, Oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? He's questioning. Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. Watch what he says, Floyd. I'm a poor man. I eat it poor, folks. I'm poor. I'm the poor man. My family's poor. Oh, matter of fact, I don't know anybody that's even more poor than us. And I am the least in my father's house. I'm the least. Nobody cares about me. I'm the black sheep of the family. Nobody looks to me. Nobody wants to be a part with me. Are you catching him now? Get in Gideon's head. And the Lord said unto him, Surely, after he's complaining, surely I will be with you. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. You, Gideon. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. This guy's a nut. He's standing looking at God, his angel. Depart not thence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present. He's going to bring a present to God, which is, if God's going to speak, you want to give him something. And set it before thee, and he said, I will tarry until you come again. Now notice this. I won't get into the whole story. Gideon didn't see who he was nor what he was capable of. Although he was. And what made him capable? Can anybody help me in just what I said? Why was Gideon capable? Thank you. It's so simple. He was only capable because God said, You are capable. The word of the Lord came unto Gideon. That's what, if the word comes to you, Gerald, you're capable. Don't look at where you've came from. Look where you're going. Am I making sense to anybody in here today? I'm trying to help y'all because I'm trying to help myself. Sometimes I get down and discouraged. Not much. Especially after Austin gave me that great wisdom. What I've got, I've got. Boy, I'm happy to hear that. Thank you, Austin. What I've got, I've got. Anyway. Gideon didn't see what he was capable of. And it didn't matter what Alan sees. Doesn't matter what Steve sees. Doesn't matter what Butch sees. Doesn't matter what Sue sees. Doesn't matter what Isla says, it's what you see. I can see greatness in you, but if you don't see greatness in you, you're not going to go and do great things. Does that make sense? He said, you are not going to get anything. He said, because when you ask amiss to consume it upon your own lust. You're asking amiss. What does that mean? I believe that you're asking without faith. You're asking for something for your own lust, but you're not asking in faith believing. He said, if you ask, you shall receive. I added to it, if you doubt, you do without. That's just me. Even when the angel spoke, the angel speaking to him, he questioned his ability. Even when the angel spoke. But what I could not see and ear hath not heard was the power that was around him and in him. And you know the story. Gideon's army defeated 185,000 of the Midianites. Sennacherib's army, I believe it was. It was a word. I'm getting ready to wind down now. See, I'm winding down. It was the word of God that lifted Gideon out of limitations. Mark this down. It was the word of God that lifted Gideon out of limitations of his earthly perspective and into the realm of God's supernatural power and purpose. It lifted him out of it. Through God's word, Gideon stepped beyond the confines of fear and doubt into the destiny that God had prepared for him, enabling him to fulfill a role far greater than he could have ever imagined. The word became, watch, this is important, a key. The word became, this is good, mark it down. You say, well, I'll remember it, Bishop. No, you won't. You'll forget what I've said by the time you get to McDonald's today. What did I say? It's like my friend, he got through preaching, and a woman walked to him and said, "Man, you did a great job. You spoke so wonderfully today. My God, it was good." He said, I love him. It's the way he thinks. He said, "Well, could you tell me what part you liked?" Totally didn't know what to say. She said, the part about Jesus. I laugh every time I've seen him do that to so many people. What part did you really like? Well, the part about Jesus. Here's a word. The word, the word. Everybody say the word. Not a word, the word. The word becomes or became with Gideon, became the bridge between his human reality and his divine potential. Are y'all catching that? It became a bridge between his human reality and his divine purpose. It's that bridge that holds it together, locks it together, and lets you get to from the human realm into the spiritual realm. The divine bridge. How many people know there's places that's been cut off without a bridge? You couldn't even get there. Through Jesus, we have a bridge. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way in and the way out, the way up and over." Now, we're going to pray in just a moment. I hope you heard me today. I don't even know how long I spoke. I try not to keep it down because I've really gotten a problem with people speaking long time now. Although I used to speak for an hour and 15, an hour and 20 minutes. And it was very comfortable to me. But then the Lord started dealing with me saying, "You know what? You're saying a lot, but you're not saying nothing." I'd rather say something than nothing. And I'm hoping, Gerald, that you hear today that there's a bridge that can be developed through the word. Because, Butch, when the word comes, you don't lean on anybody else's understanding. I don't care what they say. I know what the word has said. The word. The word. The word. Everybody say the word. The word, the word is a lamp unto my feet. Amen. Say it, Floyd. It's a light unto my feet. The word. The word is a lamp unto my feet. I can't even see where I'm going, but the word can. I don't know where I'm headed, Courtney, but the word sees it. I don't know if I'll be healed, but the word says I am healed. People have said you can't be saved because you're a terrible sinner. And Jesus says, watch this. The word says you are saved.